وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام وأعد لهم أجرا كريما. صدق الله العظيم. In our last session, we were talking about the challenges Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu faced just after taking over the Khilafah. And basically, the greatest challenges he was facing at that time were from three different groups. One was those people who had rejected Islam totally. They were called Murtaddin. The second group was of those who rejected to pay the zakah, Mani'in al-Zakah. They said, we will accept everything from Islam. We are Muslims. We'll perform the salah with you in the jama'ah the way you people do it. We'll do everything the same way as we used to do it at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as it is stated in Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe in the whole Quran, we believe in all the ahadith, except we are not going to be paying the zakah. And the third group was of those who started claiming to be the prophets after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look at it now, we can really tell that it was a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this ummah that he made Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een during the time of Khulafa al-Rashideen face all of these challenges and set an example for the ummah to come till the day of judgment. Otherwise, we would have a lot of differences in these matters. And then these matters were not like the moon sighting, whether it's today or tomorrow. These matters were of Islam and kufr. These were the matters of aqidah. That whether these people are Muslims or not Muslims. If they are non-Muslims, how to deal with them? Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een have unanimously agreed on this matter and how to deal with these type of people and what are the rules and the laws of Islam and kufr. When we look at these three groups, there are three different groups. But in reality, it's all one. Even at that time, at the time of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, many of those people who were comparing these groups, they were considering one group worse than other. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's iman was totally unique and different. And he made it clear and proved it to the ummah and at that time to Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een that all of these people are equal in their kufr. Even these people who are just rejecting the zakah are just as bad as those who are rejecting the total Islam. And those people who are accepting everything from Islam and just claiming to have another prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are as bad as those who have rejected the Islam totally and become murtad. And here, I have to go in some detail of these groups for us to understand the difference of Iman and Kufr and the rules of being into our deen and getting rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this deen. Remember, these are two different things that normally people are very careless about them, and we just, without having the proper knowledge of these matters, we try to give fatwa of Iman and Kufr, which is a very dangerous thing to do. And it's bad from both sides. Calling a Muslim kafir is bad, but is equally bad to call a kafir a Muslim. Sometimes we are careful in calling the Muslim kafir, even though nowadays we are not even careful in these matters, walayaz billah, which is so dangerous. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, whoever will call a Muslim kafir, and whoever will call another person a kafir, if that person is not a kafir, that kufr will come back to this person who has said it. It won't go westward. It won't go nowhere. It will try to go to that person whom we have called kafir. And if it does not get to that person, he is not a kafir, he has iman in his heart, will come back to this person who have called that person a kafir. And this person has to renounce his iman. And this person will have to take the shahada again. This is how dangerous it is. And it's equally dangerous to call a kafir Muslim. Which simply means because of the fear that I don't want to call a Muslim kafir, so let's call him Muslim. That's not the way either. If the person is kafir and we call him Muslim, this person loses his faith and his iman. Also, because he have rejected some of the very important fundamentals of Islam, that person was rejecting iman or some parts of iman, and yet we call him a mu'min, Islam does not accept that person either in Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَهْدُوا مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ. Are you trying to prove the guidance of those who have been misguided by Allah? Allah is saying that He's out of iman, and we are trying to prove His iman. أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَهْدُوا مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ. Are you trying to give hidayah to the one who's misguided, and Allah has put him in the list of the kuffar? So both things are equally bad. And we have to be very careful, extremely careful in both sides. Imagine. And we all know this. If something is halal, to call it haram, we know is a major sin. And equally bad, if something is haram and we call it halal. So if changing the halal and haram is so bad, imagine how bad it will be calling a Muslim kafir and a kafir Muslim. This is worse than this. That's you are, for example, you have a meat in front of you. And about this meat you are saying is haram, whereas that is halal, or it's haram and you say it's halal. This is about a meat. Imagine you call a person who is in Islam, we call him this is out of iman, or a person who does not have iman, and we try to put his name at his list, his name into the list of mu'mineen and the believers. So it's something that we have to be extremely careful with from both sides. I'm going to mention, inshallah, very briefly some rules and very basic rules of Islam and Kufr. And then, of course, detail can be learned from the books of Aqaid. But we must know this much, that what is Iman? What is Islam? Our Islam has two parts in it. When a person would like to convert and become a Muslim, we ask him to take the Shahada, and we all know the Shahada has two parts in it. La ilaha illallah and Muhammadur Rasulullah. Witnessing the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and believing in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean? Just la ilaha illallah, which means I believe there is one God, is not enough yet. This is just to confirm that this person is willing to get into the fold of Iman. And now from there on, this person will have to learn Iman and reject everything that's out of this faith and out of this Iman. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times and to many people is just like this when we see this building here. So I realized there is an architect who made a design of the building. And then there were some contractors who built this place also. MashaAllah, the building is nice. So now this is my Iman, and I believe that someone made the design and someone built this, put this structure in place. Many times our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just to that limit that I know there is someone who made the universe, who created the universe. And he designed it so perfectly, mashaAllah. But who is he? Why did he build it? Is there any responsibility that I have by living in this building? What do I need to know about him? Many times all of these points are neglected, just like we believe in a person that who have built this place. I don't really know who this person is. I don't even care who this person was. I don't care about his race. I don't care about his color, his language. All I know is that he put the building together and he put it up. That's all. Many times our Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is limited to just this point that I know he built it. And I know someone is there who built these places and who put me also in shape. Who is he? I have no knowledge and no information about that. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means believing in all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the good names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah has all the good names which are His attributes. Believing in each and every one of them. The way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it to us is part of our Iman. If those things are not clear in our mind, still Iman is not complete. And God forbid, if those things are wrong in our mind, then there is no Iman. If a Christian comes into our Iman, he believes in the whole Quran, he believes in the Hadith, now he is a new convert, now he is practicing Islam very strongly, and he comes to the masjid, he is there when we are not here, and he is practicing everything that's part of our Iman, but he still believes that there is someone in this denomination out of human beings who can forgive my sins, that person is out of Iman. Because Al-Ghafoor is the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
no one else.
And if he puts someone else with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in being al-ghafoor,
that person is associating partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And whoever will associate any partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects everything from that person. And this is called Tawheedul Asma'i wa Sifat. There is three types of Tawheed. Normally we are aware of only one type of Tawheed. There is three types of Tawheed, oneness. One is called Tawheedul Uluhiyah. Believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being God, the one who has to be worshipped only one. If we look back into the Quran al-Kareem, we will realize many of the kuffar of Quraysh who used to bow down for the idols, they also believed in this type of tawheed. When they were questioned, and this is Quran speaking, when they were questioned, how come you associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They said, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We are worshipping these idols only so that they will get us closer to Allah. They were not worshipping the idols because these are the great lords. They are worshipping the idols thinking that these can get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These idols will join our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he's so great, we cannot get to him directly. Tawheed al-Uluhiyah means oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping him the only one who is supposed to be worshipped. But this is not the end of it. This is the beginning of it. Then comes Tawheed al-Rububiyah. Oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in considering him al-Rabb. What does al-Rabb mean? Rabb means the caretaker, provider, the one who's fulfilling our needs and everyone else's need in this universe. The sun is not giving me the light. The light is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's keeping the sun in place. My business is not giving me the money, the wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. He's giving it to me through this business by keeping this business in order. These are all means. And they have to be limited to those means, not beyond that. And therefore, once this Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is in place, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my provider. He's the caretaker. Now, if my boss will tell me, you are not allowed to go for Salatul Jum'ah, I will tell him, you are not the Rabb. Rabb is there, I will go and find it somewhere else. Now I can get my risk from somewhere else. You are not the provider. You are only a mean that he was using. He was using you for giving it to me. And if he can use you, he can use someone else too. Because he is the Rabb, not you. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Oneness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being the Rabb, the provider, and the caretaker. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he started his book, he started it with, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Whether other people will believe in him as Allah or not, whether they believe in him that he is the God, Ilah or not, they at least will have to accept that he is the Rabb. And this is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that each and everything, not each and everyone, each and everything in this universe is using it at each and every second of his and her life. Each and everyone is using this quality of Ar-Rabb, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all the times. There isn't any moment of our life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quality of Ar-Rabb is not applying on our life. Sometimes we forget that we are supposed to worship him. But yet he's Ar-Rabb, he's taking care of us. The whole system is running so nice. Eyes still are able to look. The soul is still in the body. And even after the soul comes out of the body, still he is the Rabb because the soul never dies. This quality of a Rabb never ends. It's always been there, will remain there. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah must be there. It's there. The fact is there is only whether we believe it or not. And this is part of our iman to believe it. And the third is called Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His attributes and qualities. That the attributes, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has them, no one else in the world has those attributes. When He's the hearer, we believe that other people, and we can hear too, but He's the hearer, His hearing is totally different than our hearing. He has no limits of hearing. He can hear the whole universe at the same time, and there is nothing that can escape from His hearing. Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat. Oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His qualities and His attributes. Three tawheed. Three types of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in three different things. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat. This was the first part of our iman, our kalima, La ilaha illallah. And as I said, I have really tried to keep it very brief, just explain the very basic point of our iman, because we want to go further in the subject. The second part of our aqidah, our iman, for a person to become a Muslim, is Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does believing in Muhammadur Rasulullah means? When we say, I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, what does this mean now? Is it believing that he was born in Makkah and he lived over there for 53 years, then he migrated to Medina and he lived there for 10 years, then he passed away at the age of 63, now I'm a Muslim? Believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not mean believing in the seerah, that we know what he has done in his life. Believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explained in Quran al-Kareem. Look when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by your Lord. He's taking oath by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Lord. Why? Because he wants to explain the iman in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They can never be believers. What he's taking oath for? That لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. No one can be a believer حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. So, they will take you as the judge for every matter that they will have any difference in it. So your word will be the final word for them in every matter. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. And then, they will have no difference and no doubt about what you have said. And no difficulty accepting your orders, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they submit themselves totally to your orders, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very important ayah. It will be very nice if we all of us can memorize this ayah. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. They will have no objection to your orders. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. They submit themselves totally to your will and to your orders, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, I swear, without this they cannot be believers. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq radiyallahu anhu, he was explaining this ayah of Quran al-Kareem, and he said under the explanation of this ayah of Quran al-Kareem, as Imam Alusi rahmatullahi alayhi have narrated in his tafsir called Tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani, a very beautiful tafsir of Quran al-Kareem. Imam Ja'far rahmatullahi alayhi said, if any person will see a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and will question about sunnah, how come he did not do it the other way? That person is out of iman. A A person finds out something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed it in this way. And then he questions. If he does not do it, it's different. He does not follow it, then we'll say he's not a good follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if the person will question, how come he did not do it the other way? He says that person is out of iman, because Quran puts a condition. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. They should have no doubt of whatever you have said and whatever you have done. And they should submit themselves totally to your will and to your orders. And this person who's objecting, he's not submitting himself and he's having a doubt. This is our iman, and this is the basic part of our iman of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I don't want you to lose the subject. The reason we talked about this, because we were talking about the challenges Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu faced at his time. And some of the groups were such that people were doubting whether these people are Muslims or they are out of Islam. In order for us to understand it very clearly, what is the limit? Where is the boundary of our deen? As soon as the person will pass the boundary, he's out of iman and he's in kufr. This is what I was trying to explain. Keeping this in mind, inshallah, we will continue with our subject in our next session. That at least now we know what is iman. Once we know what is iman, then inshallah we will talk under the light of this explanation and these ayahs, what is kufr. So that we can keep it very clear in our mind, and from there on we can really understand what is iman, what is kufr, who is a mu'min, who is out of iman. Just claims are not enough. Just claim of being a believer, Musaylamatul Kazzab, the person who claimed to be the prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also used to believe, and he used to tell the Muslims that I believe, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He used to say this. But he added one thing, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُسَيْلَمَةَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, that I also witnessed that Musaylama is a prophet of Allah. وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ. So inshallah, we will talk about these details of the kufr now. What is kufr, inshallah, we will talk about them in our next sessions, which unfortunately won't be next week, will be the week after that. أقول قولي هذا. من الله سبحانه وتعالى قائد أولى فاستصرات المستقيم. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.